Mark and Matthew, we read almost identically the call to discipleship there on the shores of Galilee when Jesus spoke to Peter and Andrew, when he spoke to James and John and said, "Follow me." The first thing is that it was remarkable because Jesus took the initiative. He said, "Follow me." Usually, it was quite a normal custom of those who identified with a particular rabbi and were impressed by his teachings and his life to come to him and say, can we follow you? Can I become your disciple? The initiative came from the one whose desire was to follow. Maybe I could be allowed to follow you and become your disciple. But for Jesus, the initiative came from him. It didn't come from those disciples, those men who were fishermen on the shores of Galilee. It came from Jesus himself. It was he who said to them, "Follow me, follow me." The initiative came from him. And so it does with us this morning. That's the beautiful and remarkable thing about the call to discipleship. It doesn't come from somewhere within us. It comes from the Lord himself. The initiative is with him. He speaks to us and calls us to himself and calls us to follow him. The initiative is his. That's because the grace is his, the love is his, the depth of care and tenderness for each one of us is his, and it's he who calls us to himself and calls us to follow him. When I was a young teenager, we used to have a visiting preacher in our church, often called Danny McVicar, and he was a Scottish evangelist who looked like a pugilist. His face bore the scars of being a street fighter in his younger years. And not only was he an atheist as a young man, but he was an absolute God-hater. And then somehow, remarkably, wonderfully, God turned his life around. He was a youth leader of the Communist Party in Glasgow. He went to a meeting, a Christian meeting, intending to break it up. When he heard the good news as he sat there, despite himself, his heart was broken in God's presence, and he became a follower of Jesus. And he has come and preached for us, and he was a remarkable and wonderful man, and so utterly sold out for God in his discipleship. And there was a hymn popular at the time, the words of which were, "I found the pearl of greatest price, my heart doth sing for joy." And Danny, in his strong Glaswegian accent, quoted the first line, forgive me, I apologize in advance for attempting his accent, but it just rings in my mind. So he would say, "I found the pearl of greatest price. I have me. He found me." So to be interpreted, it means, I found the pearl of greatest price. I did not. It was he that found me. That was such a shining reality in his life. The initiative came from God, despite himself, in his rebellion, in his aggression, in his God-hating. God met him and changed him, and he became a lifelong disciple of Jesus, whom he loved with all his heart and being. The initiative comes from him, and whoever we are, and whatever background we come from, is immaterial. That doesn't matter a bit. The initiative comes from him. He calls you, he calls me to follow him, to be his disciples. And there's a sense of urgency in these Gospels about the call to discipleship. A sense of urgency. And the phrase that crops up, "and immediately they left their nets and followed him." Immediately. He didn't say, we've got to give this some consideration. Maybe we might mull it over for a while and think about it and see what we feel. Immediately, there was something about this, the divine magnetism of Jesus that drew them, that touched them, that gave them a desire to follow him. The initiative came from him. The response came from them. And it was an immediate response. Immediately, they left their nets and followed him. There was a strong response in their hearts towards God. It's a challenging thing, isn't it? The call to discipleship. It's not an easy journey. And yet we know deep within our hearts that this is the path that we must tread. This is the direction in which we must go. This call has come to make its claim upon us. And with all our hearts we respond to him today and say, here we are, Lord, we will follow you wherever you lead us. And they didn't altogether know what it was going to mean, the disciples who followed him that day, leaving their nets behind. They didn't really quite know where they were going, and they didn't quite know where it would end up. But they knew it was right. They knew this was the thing that they needed to do. It was a challenging thing. It was a life-changing thing. You see, to be a follower of Jesus doesn't just mean that you kind of follow him. There are people who have immense numbers of followers on Instagram and Twitter and Facebook and social media. They have followers. It doesn't make a scrap of difference to the lives of the followers. Not the slightest, remotest bit of difference to the lives of the followers. But to follow Jesus means utterly transforming. Our lives will be different if we take seriously the call to follow him. Because we will become like him. That's the thing about following Jesus. It's not just that we trail behind him, but that we kind of absorb by the challenge of discipleship. We are changed by that. We are changed. And how are we changed? We are changed into his likeness, the Bible tells us, from glory to glory by the Spirit of the Lord. Changed incrementally from one degree of glory to another by the Holy Spirit who is now at work within us as disciples of Jesus. So followers of Jesus will be changed by Jesus. That's inevitable and glorious. That's true. And we are called to follow not just to be changed, but to live in him. Our lives are now invested in him and he lives within us. So that is transformative. Paul writes to the Colossians and says, as you have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so now walk in him. Walk in him. The word there, walk, is peripateo. We recognize the word in a way because from it we get the word periscope and peripatetic. It means walk about. As you have received Christ Jesus the Lord, now walk about in him. Your life is in him, hid with Christ in God. And there's this new reality that Christ lives in you by the Holy Spirit. So there's change that takes place in the lives of true disciples who follow Jesus. A change from the inside, because we have discovered the secret of the indwelling Christ. He now lives and reigns in our hearts. That makes such a powerful and wonderful difference as we yield to his control, as we allow him to occupy the throne of our lives. So being a follower doesn't mean just drifting along behind him somewhere. It means being changed by him. It means our lives are in him. And also it is true to say that this is something that we share together. We're in this together. We are a community of disciples who are together, embrace the challenge and the adventure of following Jesus. We share in this together. When I was at Bible College, way back in the late 1960s, we had a principal called John Carter, who was a remarkable man. He was 75. And he was the principal of the Bible College. And yet, despite being 75, he was full of energy and he was a great teacher and leader and so energetic. He used to go for a four-mile walk after lunch every day, and having done a morning of lectures, and we'd see him striding off into the Surrey countryside with his great long coat flapping behind him and wearing his big broad-rimmed hat, looking like the poor man's John Wayne as he disappeared into the distance on his afternoon walk. And he was a considerable preacher too. He was always interesting to listen to. Well, he was when he had this little thing of bouncing up and down on his toes. If he was preaching and bouncing, it was a brilliant sermon. I don't know why, but his bouncing really released something that was powerful and always inspiring. And so when he began to, if he was solidly fixed on his feet, it could be a bit heavy going. But once he started to bounce, he inspired everybody. And we would watch, my friend and I, it's always bouncing today. It's going to be a good sermon. I remember one occasion he was bouncing along very nicely, and he was talking about the community of the church, that we belong to one another, that we belong together. And he said, we can say to one another, you are mine, you are mine. Just as God says to us, I have called you by name, you are mine. So we can say to one another, you are mine. And it was a kind of really inspirational moment, and it kind of touched the hearts of the people. After the sermon, an elderly spinster came up to him with a broad smile on her face and said to him, Mr. Carter, you are mine. I'm not sure that she was celebrating community. Not entirely. I think she was staking her claim. That's not quite what he had in mind. Not at all. But it's a wonderful thought. That's true. We are part one of another. You are mine. I am yours. We belong. We're in this adventure of discipleship together. We're on this journey together. We're following Jesus together. We don't do this in isolation from one another. We do it as the body of Christ, organically linked together. You are mine. I am yours. We work, we live, we share together. Have you ever been in any one of those services where the preacher makes you turn to the person next to you and say something? I've often been, and it can be wonderful, but it can be difficult as well. I had a friend older than myself by quite a few years called Herbert Harrison. He was a minister of a church up in the northeast of England. And on one occasion he was at a big charismatic event. He was sitting on the platform, and there was quite a big platform party sitting up there. And the preacher said, I want you to turn to the person next to you and say, I cannot live without you. It's a wonderful thought. We knew where he was coming from. Herbert said, I turned to the person next to me, and these were his words. He said, she was a devastatingly beautiful young woman. So when I said, I cannot live without you, it sounded more like a proposal of marriage than a celebration of community. But obviously the truth is there, isn't it? I think sometimes we can find ourselves in difficult situations when words are put into our mouths that we are supposed to say to the next person. But the truth is, I cannot live without you. And you cannot live without, we cannot live without each other. We are bound together in this beautiful family, this wonderful experience of living out our faith together as a community of disciples here in Denham, St. Mary's. May we be inspired daily to live that faith in such a way that it impacts the whole community. It will be costly. It is costly to be a follower of Jesus. To be a true disciple is not an easy option. It is costly. It challenges us. It will cost us in terms of our emotions. It will cost us in terms of our time, our finances. It will cost us. It will touch every area of our lives. The cost of true discipleship. Of course it will. It will. And yet there is something so beautiful and so wonderful about living in the experience of discipleship that enriches us beyond measure. So whatever the cost seems to be, the blessings, the gifts that come as a consequence far outweigh the cost involved in following Jesus. It will be challenging. He calls us to live for him. And the truth this morning is that we stand in God's presence, or we sit in God's presence, and we're aware of this, that what I give, he takes. And what he takes, he cleanses. And what he cleanses, he fills. And what he fills, he uses. May we be ready to be used by God as his disciples, filled with him, living our lives in him, so that the light and life of Christ can shine through us in our individual lives, where we are and where we live and where the call to discipleship is lived out, and in our corporate life as we blaze for God and as we live for Jesus.